And it got a bit muddled up, but there we are. So you get next week's, gospel today, and you'll get today's gospel next week. So any, if you're really upset, I do apologise, but there we are. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, and you know and care for your sheep. And we thank you that you recognise all peoples as your flock. Nobody is more important than others, and we are known by our recognition of you and your recognition to us. Help us this morning understand your love and care for our lives. Amen. So, he's got this great description of Jesus as a shepherd. And I think it's an appropriate one for Easter, and it's an appropriate one for the resurrection, because it draws our attention to the care that Christ has for each one of us. And the idea of a shepherd is an appropriate one, because Jesus was raised in a nation of sheep botherers, as they say. Israel was a nation that relied on sheep. In fact, it was the green hills of Canaan that drew peoples from many parts of the world into that region so they could graze their sheep. And Israel was dependent on the raw materials of its wool cloth industry and also mutton for food, but most importantly, the lambs for sacrifice. History describes the hills around Bethlehem were the hills that raised the flocks of lambs for temple sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. So Bethlehem and the hinterland were, if you like to use the expression, the Rolls Royce of a sheep production. And it was those hills and those flocks, that region, that gave to Israel its first great leader in King David and the world's greatest king, Christ the King Jesus, as we know, born in the town of Bethlehem. And sheep in Jesus' day were not the sheep of our day. Shepherds and sheep farming was a chosen profession. It was a role that was considered an important role, a star role even, something that people looked up to. Sheep were so important in the economy and the well-being of people, both their physical health, but also their spiritual health, the very health of the nation of Israel. Without sheep, you couldn't have the temple, because it was sheep that were sacrificed as a propitiation of sins. Perhaps to help understand it, the way a cow is to a Hindu, a sheep or lamb was to an Israelite. It was a sacred creature, you see, and the lamb was used for centuries by the Israelites as an atonement for sin. That's why Jesus is called the Paschal Lamb. And you often see pictures in Ghent. There's a fantastic reredos, and the centre is a picture of the lamb, and that's why. So when Jesus describes himself as this shepherd, you know, it's not the kind of ladybird book of the kindly Farmer Giles that we read as children, that we perhaps understand to be, you know, the guy with the staff and the lamb under one arm. It's not that. It's somebody, in their parlance, of great importance, a person that can fight off wild beasts with a sling, who can beat the bounds, who knows his area or their area. Somebody who will search out the lost sheep. Somebody can tend to wounds and ticks and all the other things that affect sheep. And most importantly, somebody who knows each sheep individually and whose sheep know him. So using that image, Jesus identifies himself as a person who is competent, confident and able, a ringmaster of the high hills, who both animal, wild beast and community respect. So in our passage, Jesus is actually saying three very amazing things. Firstly, that he's the protector and he will see those in his care, us, you and me. He will see us right. He will protect us when things are tough. He will deliver us from evil. He will protect us from not just beasts, but other things. Or he will walk with us and know us. He's the good shepherd, where the hireling, the temporary shepherd, will always let you down. Commentaries say the hireling could be described as the church, it could be described as another religion, and Jesus is placing himself above that, as that if you want somebody to be dependent upon, the temporary shepherd is not the one. You need to go to the real shepherd, because the real shepherd will always be there for you. And number two, he not only says, I know my sheep and they know me, but he adds, he cares. Plenty of people know me, you know, in the area, in other words, but how many people care necessarily about me? And I wouldn't expect them to. I'm not family or friend. I'm using this to make the distinction. You know, people caring is a very different thing from knowing. You can know about something, but not necessarily care about it. Jesus doesn't just know you, he cares for you. You know, he absolutely cares for you. And then number three, Jesus describes his flock as everyone who believes. There's not one type or one species of sheep or one breed, but his idea is everyone who recognizes himself as a good shepherd is a believer. It's the worldwide universal church, and that's very, very important as you can read in the book of Acts, when people started arguing about who was in and who was out. Jesus is adamant. It's those, the only in and out are those who recognize me and those I recognize. And to understand that, I want to delve into John's first letter, which was actually the reading for next week, but it doesn't matter because there's crossovers. The Apostle John, in his letter, first letter, he says this: whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. He states that faith in Jesus is the key to overcoming this world. And that those who believe in Christ have victory over the world through their faith. So therefore, with that logic, in difficult times such as these, we shouldn't be afraid, because we're not of this world, and instead we're participating in another world through our faith. And both our passages, in fact all four passages, highlight the key fundamental belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that belief is foundational for life and eternal life. So we can be reassured this morning and walk out through the door into the sunshine, that whoever has the Son has life, and whoever has the Son has eternal life. Yes, indeed, the journey may be one of suffering, but the destination is life. And I think that's the difference between those sheep that are called and those perhaps sheep that are lost. And finally, the letter, and John talks about this, is that we are of water, blood and Holy Spirit, in an image that's consistent with that of the Holy Trinity. We are created in water and baptized in the water of life. We are blood and flesh, and we're saved through the blood of Jesus. And as I speak, the Holy Spirit is testifying on your behalf in the courts of heaven, arguing, if you like, of your righteousness and the good deeds and the potential that you have. And in fearsome and difficult times such as these, again, I emphasize, we should not be alarmed or afraid, because we have been saved through the water of baptism. How many people can remember their baptism? I can. Yeah. And if you're not baptized, it doesn't matter, but it's something that you can do or have done with you. And our sins, our many sins, they are forgiven, and they shall be forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. It's a promise. We don't need to sacrifice a Bethlehem lamb raised in the hills, but we have Christ, who is the Paschal Lamb, who's baptized for us. And I'm going to finally mention the wonder of the Holy Ghost, as a BCP refers to it, or the Holy Spirit, we call it today. Same thing. The Holy Ghost is constantly testifying on your behalf to the Father. In effect, he's your conscience. The Holy Spirit speaks for you. And he speaks of the perfect you, not the one flawed in this world of sin and shame, but the perfect you that slots in and is made in the image of God. The perfect you that will survive above all else. And that's the wondrous promise of Easter that you can take into Whitsun. Amen.